There we go. I think I got that figured out. They changed the web controls here, so the mute button is different today. Anyways, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Truth About Sales. This is week 5, and let's start with Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Festivus, whatever it is that you celebrate. So welcome back, welcome back. We are jumping into the structure of assumption today. So there's an old saying that says, great salespeople assume the sale. Well, there's a structure to that. There's a structure of assumption. There's a way that you can practice being assumptive. And when you master this material today, you will automatically become more assumptive. So assumption is moving forward and acting as if we have agreement before we have agreement. So that's what we're going to take on today. Before we jump into a bunch of new and by the way, it's really the smoothest way to get agreement, and it's the smoothest and shortest way to get a sale on a signed contract is the assumptive process. And there's a little bit of an art to assumption as well. The art is, how do we be assumptive and stay in agreement? So there's a lot of people that practice assumption that's not in agreement. Like they'll make some giant assumptions that don't agree with us, and that generates resistance. So that's not what we're going to do. We're going to practice using the structure of assumption such that it does create agreement. Right, that's the whole nature of what we're up to, right? Creating agreement. So before we jump into some new stuff, which we have a lot of new stuff to cover today. For many years, I taught these techniques one per week. And then for many years, I taught these techniques two per week. And now I'm squeezing in 4 for this week's call, so I'm going to go a little bit fast today, and it's important that you stay current. So if I lose you, please jump in anytime, ask questions, blah, blah, blah. So before we do all that, let's do a quick check-in. So last week, we did a really, really fun topic that was pacing statements, right? We did pacing statements, and then we practiced tie-down questions, and then we made pacing statements and then tied them down. So what was that all about? What does that sound like? Well, a pace statement is a truism for the client. And a tie-down is a little short question that helps generate agreement, right? Don't you agree? Doesn't that make sense? And so our practice last week, after learning both of those, was to declare a pace and then tie it down. Right, so the home play exercises that you did last week, the sentences that you wrote from last week, should have sounded something like, you want the most money possible, right? You said you need to be there in 3 weeks, didn't you? You told me you'd like a 5-bedroom house, right? That sort of thing, right? So a pacing statement that is a truism for the client. This is The Truth About Sales, week number 5. Uh-huh, yep. Right, when I make that statement, it generates a subconscious yes for you. So when I have you in a subconscious yes, this is Truth About Sales, call number 5. Uh-huh. Isn't it? Uh-huh. So now I'm getting a double agreement. I'm getting a yeah. And then I'm checking in. Isn't that right? Don't you agree? Doesn't that make sense? Do you understand? Yes. I'm getting a 2 yeses. So the goal of that structure last week was to generate more and more and more and more agreement. All right. And our rapport game last week was also, as is all the rapport games, is also an agreement game. Our rapport game last week was to mirror and match the rate of speech in which people speak. If they speak really, really fast, and speak really, really fast with them, right? Because this is how they talk, and this is what makes them comfortable. And if they speak really slowly, then slow down with them because this is normal and comfortable for them. Before we jump into some new stuff today, does anybody have a win, a breakthrough, a share, a question, and anything, an aha, about last week, about pacing statements, about tie-down questions, about mirroring matching speed, anything like that? Questions, comments, anything. And because my computer dashboard changed this week, I'm not 100% sure that you can unmute. So would somebody, anybody, unmute and just star 6 on your phone and see if it works, if I may have over-muted you. Let's see.
Hi, Joel.
There we go. I did have you over-muted. All right. So one more time. Questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs, anything at all from last week? So if you tried to unmute, you'll need to do it again. Star 6 on your phone will pull you into the queue with me.
Hi, Joel. It's Valerie in Albuquerque.
Hi, Valerie.
I have a win.
Please. I love those.
We had a client that wanted to terminate a contract because she was very distraught about not being part of a transaction with her son. And so my agent and I sat down with her this morning, and I started off the conversation by saying, let me just make sure we're on the same page. So I started going through the pacing statements with her. Your son is under contract, and just, you know, is that correct? Yes. He agreed to pay for this. Is that correct? Yes. And so what I'm hearing you say, so using those transitions, is, and by the end of the conversation, she said, okay, I do want to move forward, and, you know, let's make this happen.
Bravo. And what I'm hearing is you didn't tell her anything new, and you didn't get her, you didn't have to work to get her to change her position. All you did was restate the obvious and get her agreement in baby steps as you went. Is that close?
Yes. And her energy shifted as well, because she's been super frustrated and feeling like she's not getting listened to. So going through all of that, we got in rapport, and, you know, her whole mood changed. So we were able to salvage the deal.
Awesome. And this is a brilliant thing, too. I think this is one of the big breakdowns in sales, is people feel like they're not being heard. And this is the most powerful, shortest shortcut to give people the experience of being heard. Right? Repeat back what they said to you. Let me make sure I got this straight. Right, we're in contract right now with your son, right? Uh-huh. And we're scheduled to close in 3 weeks. Is that correct? Uh-huh. And you said you wanted $450, and we're in escrow at $448.9. Is that true? Uh-huh. So there's no other option than for the client to say, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah-huh, yep, yep, uh-huh, mm-hmm. So what happens when somebody feels not heard? They're in a negative space. No, I'm not getting what I want. No, no, no. And then walking them through these paces, like Valerie just did, what happens? Yes, yes, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yes, yes, yes. Quickest way to get into a yes. So bravo. Bravo for that win. And easy and short, too. I love it. Cool. Anybody else? Win, aha, breakthroughs, questions about last week, anything at all? No? That's it? One question? Funny, I have a couple of these groups, and one of them is, like, I say, who has a question? And everybody bombs in, and I'm doing my best to manage all the questions because everybody's fighting over who gets to role play and blah, 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 and then I occasionally get the quiet group. So, all right, I'm just going to jump in and get going, and please let me remind you, this is your call. So please, jump in, interrupt, ask questions, you know, role play, share. The more you share and participate, I promise the more you'll get. And what's that saying? How you do something is how you do everything. So if you're being reserved and not speaking up in here, and that's probably, you know, that energy is going to carry over when you're talking to your clients. So, you know, be bold, be outrageous, participate, go over the top. You'll be blown away at what happens. All right. So again, the real magic in this course, if I haven't said it here 10 times, I'm going to say it again, is the real magic here is for you to develop some new habits. And to do that, my recommendation is that you, right now, if you haven't done it already, right now, time block 20 or 30 minutes per day in the morning to practice this work. Literally, writing down these sentences will help get these into your habits. So, again, you can watch all the Bruce Lee movies you want. It doesn't make you a black belt. What does make you a black belt is practice. So put it in your schedule, practice a little bit every day. Before you know it, you'll have these awesome habits. All right, so today, let's do a little tiny opening induction. So today, as you listen to the structures of assumption, you will hear a new style of communicating. And as this new style gets through your filters, you'll have a whole new understanding on how to connect with your clients and move them forward by removing uncertainty. This is the structure of assumption. And all of these tools are fueled by your habits. So as you listen, you will automatically and unconsciously absorb this material. And as you absorb these, you will become more and more curious about how these tools work. And as that unfolds, your worldview will evolve. And having an expanded, evolved worldview is the thing that helps us grow. It is the tool that has us remain in contribution and focused on making a difference for others. So that's always my intention. Now, again, I can't promise you that learning this material is going to be automatic or easy. I can promise you that when you commit to this training and do the home play every day, you will absolutely have a breakthrough in your ability to communicate with others. And this is what we do for a living. You are, make no mistake about it, a professional communicator. The goal is to communicate with others in a way to transform our ability to literally inspire others to want to work with you. And this is nothing more than a function of how we show up inside these relationships. So, all right, enough of that. Let's get cooking. Again, this week's call, this week right now, is a bit of an experiment. I generally do one of these a week or two of these a week, but we're going to try to fill it up, and I'm going to bury you in content today. So we're going to try to do all four assumptions today. And if we run out of time, we'll bleed over and do some more the next time. And one last thing, speaking of next time, next week we're off. Next week is the 27th or the 28th, the week between Christmas and New Year's. I know from experience nobody shows up, so we're skipping that week. So this is our last call of 2016. We come back again for call number 6 on January 4. So hope you have an awesome Christmas, New Year's, et cetera. And if you show up next week, sadly, I won't be here either. So, all right. Assumption. Here we go. Put your seatbelts on. Assumption. What is assumption? What do I mean when I say assumption? Well, assumption is the structure. Yes.
It's Valerie. Did you send out the new sheets? Because I'm not finding them at all. I printed the ones from last week.
Yeah, so the new handouts went out. They always go out the day before at around 10 o'clock in the morning or noon, I think. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because I get a lot of emails saying, hey, I didn't get the handout today. And almost every time, and I don't know why this works, if you clear the cookies off of your browser, it will give you access to the handout. So first, I don't know why that is, but I get lots of these requests saying I didn't get the handout, and I forward them to my marketing guy, and my marketing guy says, dump your cookies and try again, and almost every time they go, okay, great, it worked fine. So don't know why that is, but yes, it went out yesterday, and if you can't get it, clear your cookies and try again. And if that still doesn't work, let me know and we'll figure out something else. All right, so assumption. What is assumption? Assumption is acting as if there's some kind of agreement already. Right? We're going to speak as if we have an agreement already. So a basic framework of assumption is when you go, for example, to a listing appointment, are you trying to convince them to list with you? If you're trying to convince them to list with you, then on some level, you are operating under the assumption that they weren't going to. If you're trying to convince somebody that they should be your friend, if you're working hard to get somebody to like you, then subconsciously there is some sort of an assumption that you think they don't like you. So assumption is the underlying structure of belief upon which we're operating. So let's do a little sideline on reality. So assumption is a belief. So what is reality? Well, you know, most of us think, you know, reality is what's real. Well, sure. The shoes that you're wearing, the clothes that you're wearing, the chair that you're sitting in, the phone that you're talking on, you know, we think those things are real. What technically is, quote unquote, real? There's a brilliant, brilliant scene in the movie The Matrix Part 1. If you haven't seen it, go watch the movie The Matrix Part 1. There's a scene in which they're, you know, living in a matrix, and they unplug Neo, the main character, Keanu Reeves. They unplug him, and then they are trying to teach him some things. So they plug him back in with Morpheus, the leader, the mentor, the guru. And they're in this white space, like all white, white ceiling, white floor, white everything. It's kind of like a white screen with these two characters in there, and they're talking. And Neo, the student, says, "Are we in a computer program?" And Morpheus, the teacher, says, "Is that so hard to believe?" And he says, "Well, but I can, this feels so real to me." And there's a big leather chair, and he touches, runs his hand on the back of this big leather chair. And he says, "But I can feel this chair." And he says, "Well, what is real? If you run your hand over this chair, you're getting electrical signals in your fingertips from your nerves that are running up your arm, and they're being interpreted by your brain. So feel is nothing more than electrical signals in your brain. If you see something, your eyes are interpreting something, and those are being converted into electrical signals in your brain. Even smell, it's converted in your nose, and it moves up nerve signals into your brain. Even smell is an electrical signal in your brain. So all versions of reality are nothing more than in your head. They're all in our head. So what we think is actually an accumulation of beliefs and attitudes about reality. So the beautiful part of this is that reality is fluid. And one of my favorite quotes, there's no objective truth, right? There's a typo in your handout. It says subjective. It should say objective. There's no objective truth. Why? Because even if there was an objective truth, we would all view it through our own subjective filters, right? We'd all view it through our own perspectives. And so when I say reality, my reality is different than your reality, right? You might love burgers and fries. I don't. I don't eat french fries. I'm not a big fan of fries, right? So your reality is that's a great lunch. My reality is no thanks. So is that a good lunch or a bad lunch? Well, it depends on the perspective. So inside this belief structure that everybody has a different perspective on what's true, what's good, what's powerful, what's beautiful, what's sexy, what's delicious, what's loud, what's cold. I spent a bunch of the time this last weekend with a friend of mine, and he's Norwegian, I think. And he spent his life He's a high-altitude mountain climber. He likes to climb, you know, Everest and Denali, and he likes to climb mountains, and his specialty is climbing in the ice, climbing ice waterfalls. So he keeps his house at 60 degrees. So we're sitting there, and he's wearing shorts and a T-shirt, and I'm wearing a down jacket in the house because that's normal for him. It's cold for me. It's comfortable for him. So is it cold or is it comfortable? Right? These are all perspectives on reality. So I'm detouring a little bit into reality because hopefully be mindful that reality is different. What you think is true might not be true for somebody else. What you think is important might not be important for somebody else. So we make all these assumptions that our version is right. Our version is correct. It's not correct. It's just our version. Right? My belief is my belief. All right, so considering that everybody has a right to their own perspective, inside of this, our language is chock full of assumption. So a quick example of what that means. There's so much assumption in our language. Listen to this. Listen to the sentence. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the home, don't you? One more time. You definitely want me to get you the most money for the home, don't you? What are they going to say? Yeah, I definitely want the most money. So what is being assumed in this sentence? You definitely want me to get you the most money for the home, don't you? What's being assumed? Well, I'm assuming that they want the most money for the home. I'm assuming they want me to get it for them, or they want you to get it for them. I'm assuming they definitely want you to get it for them. I'm assuming that profit is more important than timing. I'm assuming that profit is more important than a smooth, easy transaction. I'm assuming they want their house sold. I'm assuming they have a house. And just by saying they, you just assumed I'm talking about more than one person. So these are all the layers of assumption. So the goal is knowing that assumption is an act of creation, and what we say has power and creative impact. Know that the words that we speak create new realities. From that place, what realities would you like to create for yourself and for others? All right, so there's four different presuppositions, and each presupposition creates an assumption. There are four, and they go from easiest to most complex. So the easiest one is an adverb. An adverb describes the verb or state of being. That's the first one we're going to study. An automatic presupposition describes something that is occurring automatically. Something that occurs without conscious thought. Awareness simply focuses the attention on something new. So even if you didn't catch it before, now that I've mentioned it, you're becoming aware of the fact that I'm losing my voice because I keep coughing and clearing my throat. You may not have focused on that before, but now that I pointed it out, you're going to notice it. That was using awareness to focus you on something new. And then the last one is temporal. So temporal has to do with time. That's when something happens. All right, so let's dig into each of these. So an adverb, number one, adverb presupposition is assuming that something is all, well, the presupposition, assuming something's already true. Because the verb defines the action, the adverb qualifies the verb. Adverbs are generally at the very beginning of the sentence. They're always before the verb. So an adverb presupposition is something like happily, certainly, luckily, fortunately, naturally, obviously, definitely. So here's the key. For you, simply decide which state of being is the most helpful and conducive to your client. and then use that one to presuppose that state of being. So example number one says, naturally, you want to hire an agent that you can trust, right? So I'm presupposing that hiring an agent that you can trust is a natural process. Notice I could have also said, obviously, you want to hire an agent that you can trust. Now, probably not a good match that I could to say, remarkably, you want to hire an agent that you can trust, right? Because that's not a remarkable. I'm not presupposing anything remarkable. What I'm presupposing is I want them to see and hire an agent that you trust, but that's natural, that's obvious. So I want to presuppose the state of being that makes the biggest difference for my client. Right, next one says, fortunately, you already know that you need to be pre-approved to show the seller that you can buy the property. Don't you? You know that, don't you? So fortunately, you already know this. Oh, sure, of course I do. And that's fortunate that they know that. So I'm using fortunately to presuppose that it's fortunate that the client knows this. Next one, happily, when we list your house tonight, you'll be one step closer to your grandkids. Won't that be great? So I'm presupposing. This is a happy time. That when we list your house tonight, you'll be one step closer to your grandkids. That's what you want, right? And so I want to pre-frame listing the house tonight to get closer to the grandkids as a happy outcome, as a happy event. All right, so that is presupposition assumption number one, the adverb. There's a couple more examples there in your handout. Questions, comments, anything? We have four of these, and I'm going to rip through them, and then we'll play with them all and smash them all together and mix them all together. So any questions thus far, star 6 on your phone, come in here and chat with me anytime. Nope, no questions so far? All right. The next one is an automatic presupposition. So briefly, what does the word automatic really mean? Well, it means that something's going to happen whether you know about it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not. There's a big one. You jump off the roof of the house, you are automatically going to fall to the earth. Whether you understand gravity or not, you're going to fall. When you're driving your car, most of us are driving an automatic transmission car. When you're driving your car, it shifts automatically. When you go faster, it shifts up. When you go slower, it shifts down. When you stomp on the gas to pass another car, it shifts down. And whether you understand it, whether you know what gear you're in or not, whether you know how many gears your car had, it doesn't make any difference. It's automatic. So it happens in the background. So what are the key words for automatic presuppositions? They are automatically, involuntarily, instinctively, constantly, even without thinking, without a doubt, almost magically, right? These are the presuppositions to pre-frame that things are happening. Whether you know about it, whether you like it, whether you approve of it, it doesn't make any difference. They're automatic. Couple of examples of automatics. Even without thinking about it, you already know that we must list your home at a price that will attract buyers. We want lots of buyers to come, right? So did the client think this way before we said this? You already know that we have to list your home at a price that will attract the buyers. Now, is that the way they were thinking? No, they were probably thinking, I want $650. Yet when we frame it this way, there's a couple of assumptions going on there. Even without thinking about it, you already know this thing right here. Right? But yeah, I know that. So I'm presupposing that they know the thing that I want them to know, and that I'm speaking it into reality. even though that's not what they were thinking about. They were thinking, woohoo, we get to move. Yeah, oh man, I hope we get $650. I think my house is worth $650. And I want them to think about it through the frame of, you already know we have to list the home at a price that will attract in buyers because we want lots of buyers. Oh yeah, that makes sense. You see this framework. I'm presupposing that they see the thing that I want them to see. Now, consider the difference if I say, look, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, trust me, we have to list the house at this price because we want to bring in, we want the buyers to come see it, and we want lots of buyers to come see it. So you should take my advice and follow my opinion and list the price at the price that I say we should list it at. You feel how much resistance is going to come out of that? You're picking a fight. Your opinion is getting in the way. Big, big difference. All right, a couple more of these. It should be like second nature for you to do the math. Compare how much you're paying your current broker to the fee cap at KW. See if it makes sense for you to move your license. What am I presupposing? I'm presupposing it should be like second nature. Not a big thought, nothing you have to ponder, not a big heavy decision. Just, you know, do the math. You're in real estate, you do the math all the time. Do the math. Compare costs to benefits. Should be like second nature. I'm presupposing this is something that is inside your nature, not something you need to struggle with. All right, a couple more examples really quick. For your kids, almost magically, you'll see as your grades increase, so will your opportunities. And then this is the next one is my pitch on civil liberties. Most people instinctively know that only by promoting individual rights will we ever be able to create a peaceful world for future generations. Isn't that what we want, a peaceful world for future generations? So what am I presupposing? That you instinctively know this, that promoting individual rights is the way to create a peaceful world. Now, you may not have thought that before I said it, but now it hopefully is clear, and now I'm also presupposing that this is an instinctive thought that you have. How often do we go against our instincts? Not very often. All right, and then this last one here is for you, self-talk. For me, self-talk, programming our subconscious. Every time you, or if this is you speaking to yourself, you might say, every time I complete my daily lead gen, I'll automatically feel good knowing my goals are in the process of coming true. Right? Self-talk. One of the most powerful uses for the truth about sales for these language constructs is use them on yourself. And as you reprogram your own thought processes, you will not only have breakthroughs in your own life, it's the fastest way for you to indoctrinate yourself into using these language constructs. And the more you use them for yourself, for your self-talk, in reprogramming your subconscious, the more quickly it will become a habit in the way in which you speak with others. In fact, it'll be smoother and a better delivery if you practice on yourself first. All right, so the first one was adverb. Naturally, blah, 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 blah. Fortunately, blah, 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 right? That's adverb. The second one is automatic. So we're going to say, naturally, even without thinking about it, you see XYZ, right? So that's automatic. All right, we have two more to go. Any questions thus far? Yes.
Number one, it's hard for me to see where the presupposition is. It seems to me that the presupposition would be in already know. I'm assuming that you already know this rather than thinking about it.
Well, that one, example number one, even without thinking about it, is the automatic presupposition. Because I'm presupposing that this is true without you even thinking about it. I'm presupposing that this is already true and in agreement. The next one, you already know, is actually an awareness presupposition. That's presupposition number three that we're going to talk about right now. There just happen to be two in that one. and we hadn't learned that one yet. But give me 30 seconds or 2 minutes, and then that one will be clear.
Okay.
So the next one is awareness presuppositions. So let's do a little quickie exercise. Look around in your space right now. Look around. Look around your office, your car, your kitchen, wherever you're sitting. Look around and notice all the things in your space that are, it's Christmas, so let's say all the things in your space that are red. Quickly, take an inventory. All right, I have a little jar of cookies right there that's red. And that little flower pot is red. There's a pair of scissors right there that's red. There's a bottle of, I don't know, water. What is that thing? That's red. There's a red label on that thing right there. So that's all my red stuff. All right, take a good look at all the stuff in your space that's red. Great. Now close your eyes. Close your eyes. All right, now with your eyes closed, from memory, recall all the things in your space that are green. All the green things. Keep your eyes closed. How many green things can you bring back into memory that are in your space? One, two, three, whatever. Okay, now open your eyes. Look around. Look at all the green stuff in there. So here's the thing. There was green stuff in your office before, but you didn't see it because your attention was on the red stuff. And now when you open your eyes and you checked, now you're clear that you can see the green stuff. You weren't aware of it before, but it was there all along. Right, so this is the key with awareness presuppositions. The green stuff was there all along. You weren't focused on it, right, because I had you focused on the red stuff. You weren't focused on it, so it wasn't top of awareness. The red stuff was there all along too, and you weren't focused on it until I asked you to take inventory of the red things. Then you got hyper aware of the red things. So awareness presuppositions shift the focus of what people are aware of, and by presupposing that someone is aware of something that they weren't previously aware of, we're literally shifting their reality. At first, your reality was just the office. Then your reality was all the red stuff. Then your reality was, oh, look at all this green stuff that I wasn't paying attention to. Now I'm clear. So your reality altered because we moved your focus. So awareness presuppositions point out, basically they say, well, clearly you're aware of that right there. I mean, obviously, that's an adverb. Obviously, you know that we're on the phone right now. So awareness presuppositions are things like begin or beginning, notice or noticing, feel or feeling, sense or sensing. And you can smash them together like you're beginning to notice, you're starting to realize, or by themselves, you're noticing, you're understanding. Clearly you understand. You're starting to discover. You're beginning to perceive. Whatever. And then highlight whatever it is that you want them to be aware of. So just in listening to this little pitch here on awareness presuppositions, you're starting to realize how much room there is for evolution in your communication structure. That these things have been here all along and you've not been focused on them. And now that you're hearing this, the structure of how the presupposition works, you're beginning to understand the depth and breadth of power that you possess. And that literally anything is possible when you master this language. So, a couple of examples. Clearly, you're starting to realize, right? That one has two. Clearly is an adverb. Starting to realize is awareness. Clearly, you're starting to realize we need to reduce the price to get your home sold. You want to be closer to your grandkids, right? So were they realizing, like the client saying, what's going on? We've been on the market 6 weeks and we haven't sold. And what are you doing over there? And I need more ads and people aren't coming. And what's going on? Right? They're just saying whatever they're saying. So instead of dealing with that, I'm going to say, wow, clearly you're starting to realize it's time to reduce the price to get the home sold. I mean, you want to be closer to your grandkids, right? So were they starting to realize? I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to say that it was in their subconscious somewhere that they weren't getting what they wanted and it's time to make a change. Your client says, wow, look at this. They have a flexible date. They'll close between 30 and 75 days, depending on what we want. Wow, that's pretty nice of them. Or, wow, they're putting $250,000 cash down. That should make us feel good. And then you, as the broker, I want to agree with that. And I want to say something like, great, are you beginning to believe what I say when I tell you this is the right offer for you? See how flexible they are? And for the rest of you, are you starting to understand that the more that you actually complete the home play exercises for this course, the easier it is to close sales? Are you starting to understand? So I want to presuppose that you see that, that you know that, that it's clear for you, that you understand that structure. Now, is that the way you thought about it before I said it? Probably not. Probably not. All right, questions. There's a few more examples there in your handout. Questions, comments, ahas. Anything?
Hey, Joel, this is Danette, and I'm just curious, yes. Is any one of these four stronger to use, or is it, how do you know which one to use and when?
Yes, really good question. These are, in my completely biased, not so humble opinion, these are in order of smallest to largest. So the adverb is the smallest, easiest to pass off. You know, it's the smallest one. So, you know, I can say, fortunately, blah, 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 and it's almost always accepted. Super easy. An automatic, if I'm presupposing something that's going to be automatic, you know, that's something that they're going to do anyways. And I'm just going to assume that they're going to do it smoothly and automatically. That's a little bit bigger. Awareness is even a little bigger than that. Now I'm saying, well, clearly you're aware of this. I mean, naturally you understand that. That's a little bit bigger of a hurdle. And then the biggest one of them all is the fourth one that we're going to do right now, which is called temporal presupposition. So temporal. Temp, le temps, temporary. Temp has to do with time and the timing of an event. Now, the temporal presupposition is different than the other three. So the other three are making an assumption about the way something's happening. So an adverb says, you know, fortunately, blah, 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 blah. So fortunately, this thing that's going on is fortunate, so I'm changing the nature of the event. So I'm presupposing that this event is fortunate. Automatic is I'm presupposing that this event is automatic or going to be automatic. And the same thing almost with awareness, I'm presupposing that this event you're aware of. Like you realize it's time to reduce the price. So reduce the price is already in the field. It's already in their consciousness. Temporal is different. Temporal presuppositions make the assumptions based on the timing of an event. The key with temporals, though, is temporal events are always some version of before, during, or after, right? It's before the event, during the event, after the event. The key, though, is we're going to assume that the event already happened. The event's already in agreement. But the key with this one is that it's predicated on the assumption that the event did not exist before you mentioned it. You mentioning it using a temporal presupposition is creating the event. Right? That is the creation of the event. So, for example, if you have a listing appointment Friday at noon, and you say to your client, right, we're using these before, during, after, blah, 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 you know, when, while, during, whatever. So if you say to your client, when you call on the pre-qualification call, if you say, during our appointment Friday at noon, well, during is a temporal presupposition. So during our appointment Friday at noon, yes, I'm using the word during, yet I'm not presupposing anything new. Friday at noon is already set. It's already in the books. There's already an agreement. There's no assumption. However, if you say, during the time that you're listed with me, oh, now I'm assuming they're listing with me. Right? There's no agreement that they are listing with me. We just have an agreement that we're going to meet Friday at noon. So during our appointment on Friday, there's no assumption. That's already scheduled. During the time that you're listed with me, that is an assumption because we have no agreement that they're going to list with me. That's still hope. So the key with temporal presuppositions is to create something new. Right? The client says, oh my goodness, we've been on the market 6 weeks and you know we're not selling and slowing has started to show slow down and I'm not getting what I want. So to use a temporal to step into that, we might say something like, well, when we lower the price to $625, we'll see a new wave of activity and a new wave of showings. Well, we didn't have an agreement to lower the price to $625. I created that. So temporal presuppositions are things like, example number one, once you sign the contract, once you sign the agreement, we can start shopping for your new house right now. Say you're walking through the house and they go, oh, wow, look at this kitchen. Goodness, this kitchen's amazing. Then I'm going to presuppose something even bigger. Since you love this home, let's make an offer right now before somebody else does. Now, they didn't say they love it. They didn't say they wanted to make an offer. They just said, wow, look at that kitchen. I'm assuming they love it enough to make an offer. Next one is maybe for your kids or for you. So before you do your homework tonight, maybe you should check to see what's due tomorrow so you work in priority order. So this is the assumption that didn't exist, that I didn't have an agreement that they were going to do their homework tonight. I'm bringing that into the conversation by presupposing that it's going to happen before there's an agreement. For example, when you tell everybody at your office about the truth about sales, this class, please tell them your personal experience and what you got out of the class and how much you enjoyed it. Right? So we have no agreement that you're going to tell everybody that you know about this training. I'm creating that right now in real time by saying, when you tell other people about this, please do it this way. Please tell them your personal experience and what you learned. Please tell them what you gained. So the key, this one's a little bigger, the key with temporal is to create something new. One more example. If I say, when you sign up for the truth about sales for a second or third time, you will move yourself towards a state of powerful mastery, right? When you sign up for this course a second or third time, versus right now I'm assuming that you're signing up for a second or third time, and you haven't yet. I'm creating that. Versus when I say, when we get together for call number 6 on January 4th. Now,
Joel?
Both of those, I'm saying when, blah, blah, blah. One, we have an agreement already, and one, we don't. Yes, question.
Yeah, I think I have a statement, question, example that I want your feedback on, please.
Yes, please.
Okay. Last week, I had a conversation that I mentioned that I had sellers that are afraid to list until they know where they're going.
Yes.
So now I want to follow up that conversation with this, and I'd love your feedback.
Okay.
Now that we see there are homes out there that you want to move to, you clearly see it's time to get your home on the market, right?
Very good. Now that we see there are homes that you like, now that we see there are candidate homes that you would consider, now that you see there's lots of options available, right? So you're creating that.
Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Any changes to that?
Well, this is a tough one to coach because I don't know what the conversation is with the two of you. So let's say, for example, that you go out and look at 10 houses with these clients. And the clients, after looking at 10 houses, the clients say, holy crap, that was really exciting because out of those 10 houses, there's 5 of them that we would consider living in, and they're priced right, and they're in good neighborhoods, and they're in good shape. There's 5 of those 10 that we would consider. That's amazing. Okay, now if you say, well, now that you realize that there's 5 houses that would work for you, now that you realize that 50% of the houses are candidates for you, so that would be helpful, yet it's not a presupposition because they said there's 5 that we like. And you say, well, now that there's 5 that you like, I mean, it's still a great thing to move them towards it, yet it's not a presupposition. A presupposition in that frame would be, since you're ready to get into action now, right, you've seen 5 houses that you like, since you're ready to get into action now, let's list your home today. Right, so the assumption is they saw houses they like, so now I'm assuming, since you're ready to get into action today. Helpful? Did that make sense at all?
I'm a little lost, honestly.
Say again, less? That made sense less.
I'm a little lost because I was trying to use the temporal supposition of now that we see something, and then clearly I was trying to use the adverb one, and then do the tie-in at the end. So am I mixing too many things?
No, you did it right. I just want to be really clear in talking about temporal presuppositions that it's something new. So let's keep the same sentence. I'm not going to change your sentence at all. Let's say, for example, that your client says, hey, we're afraid to list because we don't know what we're going to buy. We don't know. We're not confident that there's good stuff, a good replacement for us. And you just go, well, hang on. Give me 5 minutes. And you just do a quick MLS printout. And you print out 5 or 6 homes that are sort of in their ballpark, that are sort of in the genre. And you say, well, look at these 5 pieces of paper. And they go, oh, that looks kind of interesting, and that looks kind of interesting. Well, that doesn't look so bad. And they did not say, great, I'll buy that one. They just said, oh, wow, that's encouraging. So from this space, now you can assume that the goal with the temporal is to assume an agreement that didn't exist before you said it. So now you could say, now that you realize there's plenty of good options for you, let's get your house listed right now and get into action. Now, they didn't necessarily realize there's plenty of good options for them. They just said, oh, that's encouraging. So the assumption from it's encouraging is now you realize there's lots of good options for you. That's the assumption.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. That is helpful.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, for temporal, it's really, really important the difference between, I like the appointment example. I can say, during our appointment Friday at noon. I'm confirming an appointment that's already in agreement. There's no assumption. Friday at noon's already on my schedule. It's already on their schedule. So when we get together Friday at noon, there's no assumption. When you sign the contract Friday at noon, that's an assumption. All right, I heard somebody else. Was there another question in there? All right, one last thing to share with you. It is totally 100% okay for you to mix a few of these together. You can say, fortunately, now that you realize, blah, 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 totally okay to do that. And be cautious, it is not necessary to put one of every technique in every sentence that you write. Because if you do that, then it's going to sound like this. Well, fortunately, you're beginning to realize that naturally, when you, right, it's just all going to get turned into mush. So totally okay to put a couple together, not necessary to put two or three or four together, not necessary. And if you can say it out loud and it sounds and feels conversational and organic and effective, great. That's the measure. If you're not sure if it sounds right, say it out loud. Have somebody say it back to you. Say it to yourself in the mirror. Remember, this should always sound like an organic conversation. That's the goal. Really, the goal is to get all these tools and techniques into your linguistic habits. And once these become your habits, right, you have the habit of assuming. You have the habit of pacing. You have the habit of tying down. Once you have these linguistic habits, then your goal is just to talk to people, ask them questions, discover what they want, help them get what they need. That's it. Your job becomes very easy. You have these powerful communication habits. Now all you need to do is talk to people. What do you need? Where are you moving? What does that look like? What's important to you about that? Great. Now that we're clear on what you want and your time frames, let's get your home on the market and get you moved to Colorado in time to start ski season. That's what you want, right? Right? Once you're clear on what they want, then this language will quickly move you and them towards it. All right, we have a whopping couple of minutes left. So, questions, comments, ahas, breakdowns, upsets, Merry Christmases, anything. Nothing. Wow. Okay. No questions, no nothing.
Well, Joel, yes. I have a question. Here's the important sure. question to the to everybody on the call. Have you been naughty or nice?
And who's grading that? Right?
Who's grading that?
Your Santa might appreciate some naughtiness. I don't know. Who's grading that?
I guess that's for all of us to figure out.
That's right. And that's subjective too. So according to who? Right? Your spouse might like a little naughtiness. Your broker probably won't. So
Joel?
Who's judging? Yes.
Anita from Salt Lake. I just want to say thank you so much. I just, I love the material. It just resonates with me. And Merry Christmas to everybody.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Anita, from Salt Lake. Are you getting any snow in Salt Lake City yet?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Skiing
is good, yes. If that's where you're going, you ought to come out.
I have a friend of mine that lives just outside Snowbird, and I'm going to come snowboarding with him in January at some point. So I'm going to come to Salt Lake City a little bit and ride. Yeah.
Well, I live just at the bottom of Big Cottonwood Canyon, and our office is not far from there either. Would love to
nice.
Have you stop by. Yeah.
Well, have your TL reach out to me, and maybe we can work in a quickie one day thing while I'm in town. That's fun too.
Ah, that would be fabulous. Okay,
yeah.
Will do. Yep.
Right on. All right. Thanks, Anita. So I think that's it. We're at the top of the hour. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. My one holiday pitch is, just like Thanksgiving, do your best to be in gratitude. Be thankful for the awesome year that you've had. Be thankful for the trials and tribulations that you've had. You know, be in love and gratitude for getting to spend it with your families and for the gifts under your tree and all the stacks of food on your table, right? We live in a pretty awesome place, and, you know, when you look around the whole world, we have it pretty good. So, you know, be in gratitude the best you can and dream big for next year. So I guess that's it. Thanks, everybody, for being here. You guys have an awesome, awesome holiday. Happy New Year. And go get them. Go get them. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. There we go. Right on. Thanks, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.